What a fitting song that Matt just led. Count your many blessings. I have to say that it is a blessing to be back with you all. This is my first Sunday in the month of October. Good thing we had five, or I would have missed the whole month of October worshiping with everybody here. I've been very blessed to travel around the nation, speaking at congregations in West Virginia, Michigan, and Virginia over the last several weeks. But it's always good to be here and So this morning, actually, this lesson is going to start off with a little video. Let me preface this by one thing. My lesson this morning is by no means in a political agenda. I don't do that. I don't get caught up in one way or the other. But the video I'm going to show you has a little bit of a political thing, and that's not what I'm going to show you. I want to show you, I entitled this lesson, Clueless, Without Even Knowing It. And it might step on your toes to think about, I'm stepping on my own toes, of how we sometimes are clueless and we don't even realize it. And I'm going to get to that. But I want to show you a video. Hopefully it's going to work. I found this on Facebook. This is a late night show, Jimmy Kimmel, and I'll let him preface it. But it kind of puts you in the state of mind where sometimes we are as people. So hopefully this is going to work. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Premiums are going up next year by an average of 25%. The reasons why this is happening are too complicated to get into, but here's the gist. If you hate Obama, this is his fault, and if you like him, it's not his fault at all. But that's how the way people react to a story largely depends on how the story is presented and what they already think. So this afternoon, when I'm assuming it may seem like higher premium, you know, premiums are in a good order most of the time, so we make it seem like higher premiums were a good thing.
All right, so I did that like I said, with a political agenda, but how clueless are we sometimes? I don't know if that's real or not. For the sake of the country I live in, I hope that's not right. But then we laugh. And we think that's a joke, but you know what? We're not too far removed as a society from our mindset being like that. Now, granted, we don't take answers and we're that clueless sometimes, but I want you to think about that mindset with how in God's Word, in the Christian life, how over time we as a people claim to love God, but we don't really know what it's about. It's the thing to do. It's, oh yeah, I love God. But But then when it gets down to it, do we really understand what that means? In the society we live in, if you think about this, and I'm gonna be very honest with you, news distorts things, whether it's one side or the other. I think about with our recent times with the shootings, Black Lives Matters. You know, it's very easy to see a shooting and come on the TV, and it seems like every other day. I was just, me and Kristen were out on a date, which we rarely get to do, and we were down at Demos downtown. And on the TV, there's a something in how information to come out about a shooting. It's very easy to find out, well, that cop was wrong, or that person was wrong. And it's easy to determine one way or the other. And by watching a newscast, your opinion was made for you. A lot of times I believe in all lives matter, but I get caught up in it and I start thinking, well, you know, the evidence really does, you know, that was wrong. And then time comes on and then more evidence comes out. And then the next thing you're like, whoa, I was so clueless. We look at Facebook daily, don't we? I found that on Facebook. I don't like Facebook as much, especially this time of year. I wish Facebook would go away sometimes, but there are stories that come across there, and we read them, and we're like, wow, and there's these facts and these statistics and all this and these points of view. And you're like, oh, and so we build an argument inside of our head, and we're like, oh, I know the facts. And then we get to speaking, but did we really know what we were talking about? Did we really research it? Do we know the truth? I think about in small talk when you get around. I'm guilty of this. I can talk sports. I could argue why the Seminoles are the best team in America and have no facts behind it, but I can argue it. I can tell you why Alabama is the world's worst team, and it's my opinion, and I can force it down your throat. And we do that all the time. We take stuff, and we build our opinions up, and then we force it on others by telling them. And most of the time, we don't even know what the truth is. So this morning, I promise you this. We're going to look at the Word of God. One of the things I always believe in when I start speaking, because I get to speak a lot, is that whenever I take a scripture or I take a story and present it, I want to look up and find out. It's the best of my knowledge that I'm telling what's in context. If I find a story that I've done some research, this is the way I think we should. So we're going to look at some passages today of how God's Word has been distorted. And you can see where we're at today. Can you not? How did that become so distorted that you could go out on the street and say, our healthcare premiums aren't, isn't that great that your healthcare premiums are going up? And somebody can sit there and be like, oh, that's great. The one guy said five times? That's who I would not vote for. But we let things in our mind build up and we don't even know the facts a lot. So let's look at some scriptures today of how God, from the beginning, has told us. Very first scenario, if you've been in the Sunday morning class, and it's been going on for a while, Dave's been talking a lot about Ephesians and then talking about how Satan attacks us. And in the very beginning, what happens? You got Adam and you got Eve. And here comes the serpent, right? We know this story. We know it by heart. You've probably heard it 1,000 times. Here comes the serpent. And he twists the truth a little bit. Oh, God wouldn't kill you? Come on. Does he do it with a platform? No, he just kind of gets in there and he kind of, you know, softens it up a little bit. And we know the result. From the very beginning, Satan has allowed the Word to be distorted, to allow the truth to be manipulated. And so often, we let it happen. I'm going to give you an example of something. This is funny. I heard this story last week at a conference I was at. And it's a great story. You might have heard it about how if you take some frogs, which I did not personally do this experiment, and I'm going to tell you, I did some research on this afterhand, but you pick some frogs and you stick them in some water, some decent warm water, and you raise the temperature up slowly over time that they'll boil. Have you ever seen that fable, as I say now? You know, it's a great thing this time of year. Well, yeah, that's what our society's doing. Well, I went back and started reading that, and you know that's not really true, by the way. That does not happen. Now, what I read might not be true. I don't know what the truth is anymore. But I have not tried that. So if we want to get some frogs afterward, and we can put them in a pot, and we'll turn the water up to see. But we so often, I want to use that example, even though it might just be a fable. How often is it that we're in our environment that the truth, what is right, what is fact, gets distorted, but not just an obvious distortment, but slowly over time, it gets distorted, and we just kind of go with it until we are so far removed from the truth that we don't even realize it, and we're claiming to know the truth. So I'm going to use an example of how I know this is an example that works because it happened to me. Think about going to the beach. I remember back to a year, it was Hayes and Mike and I went down to Myrtle Beach as part of our tradition. And how many times do we go out on the beach? And when you go to the beach and you come back, you want to be a little bit darker, right? You don't want to come back looking paler than you went. That's just the mindset of humans, at least. And I'll never forget, I went down there and I'm like, oh, I'm going to lay out on the beach. As I've done many a times in my life, stupid Sean knows the result, what's going to happen. I sit there and I'm like, man, I come in, I'm like, I didn't get any sun today. That was just a waste of time laying on the beach. And I actually laid out for a little bit, usually I'm in the water. Until the next day at night, and I can vividly remember this, all of a sudden my skin went from white to a red that was undescribable. And we had this air mattress. We were cheap guys at the time, and we rotated. So each person got a bed and then an air mattress, and then we rotated each night. Well, the night that I got the air mattress, I found out quickly that how the sun had done its effect on me without me even realizing it, where I could not even lay down. I had to go stand in the bathroom all night just so I could get comfortable. And isn't that how the truth gets distorted? Is like the sun on our skin. You lay out, and you sit there, and you don't even realize it. And over time, you're like, well, it's not really doing anything. The sun's not harming my skin. It's not doing anything. I'm fine. And then, boom, you wake up, and you're like, ouch, that hurts. And where did that happen? How'd that happen? And that's an example I want to use because when we look at things, whether it's on Facebook, on the news, when you come to church and you listen to people speak, when you're listening to me speak, how often do we just let it come in, flow into our minds, and assume it to be truth? I could get up here today and preach a false message, and if I word it right, I could have you believe in it. Because, oh, well, Sean, he goes to Echo Hills, he's part of us, he believes the same thing we do, and we don't even really study for ourselves. So my encouragement is, let's not end up being the Christian that gets interviewed by somebody as a TV show. And we're so clueless that we're answering stuff and we don't even know. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to flip over to there. We're going to look at two passages mainly this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at 14 through 18. And these are just kind of, as I always like to do, positive reinforcements on just reading the Word and taking the application from it. It says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at a passage very similar to the same message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. In the day and age we live with the media and the technology and in Google, you know, on Google there is Wikipedia. And Wikipedia, from what I gather, is editable. I don't know if this is true anymore, but you can basically, I could write Sean Judge and put out there on Wikipedia and write this whole great thing about who I am, and that'd be fact, right? And it's out there. Or I can say whatever. Sometimes Wikipedia has truth, sometimes it don't. But we look at stuff and we say, oh, that's it. And we do it constantly with news and talk and our listening to people. But how often does that happen with the Word of God? How often is the Word of God distorted enough to fit the agendas, to fit the justifications, to fit the lifestyles of how we want to be? I fear that as we progress in this society we live in, we're going to get farther and farther away from the truth because we don't take time to find the truth. When you have information at your fingertips, or you can just turn on the TV, you think, oh, that's truth, and go on. I am a generation right before technology took off, I guess you could say. I was in the generation where you saw the Atari dying out and you saw the Nintendo come arise. You saw cell phones. I didn't see those until I was in college. Internet was that loud noise. Making a call home was if you had a quarter, you went to a payphone, or you went to a friend's house and asked if you could go inside to borrow the phone. I've seen technology, and trust me, I love technology. There was no Facebook before Facebook. Everybody was cool about MySpace. I just saw something, and it was actually a couple weeks ago, Tennessee beat Florida, and I did not realize it said the last time Tennessee had beat Florida, it said that Facebook was not around. And I thought, wow, it doesn't seem that long ago, does it? And all of a sudden, boom, look at what it's done. Information is great, but when we don't seek the truth and we let others just speak, and we accept that without coming up with our own formulation of the truth, how easily are we steered one way or the other? Point in case is this. Right now, and Dave brought this up in class, right now our nation is divided over opinions, are they not? You turn on the TV and you get all these facts, and it sways your opinion one way or the other. How often do we actually, and he said it at school, they did a debate, but did they really go and get the knowledge of what they were debating, or are they debating just off of emotion or what they heard? And so I wonder how often in the Word of God do we listen to a message and we say, that's it, that's truth, and then go on and tell that. And then someone else tells it, and soon the truth is so far away from where it's at that we went just because we allow that to happen. You know, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it talks about the Bereans, the noble Bereans. And it said that after they had heard the word, they went and studied the word to find out that what Paul had said was truth. Do we often overlook that? Where did they find the truth? Was it they went and talked amongst themselves? No, they went back and read the word for themselves to find out what was being said is truth. And I think that is something we need to really do. So here's my kind of lesson for you this morning. It's just been on my mind a lot lately. But let's, as individuals, take time in whatever we're doing to look for the truth. When you see a story come across, like the frogs in the pot, find out it's true before you get up and say it to someone else. When you see a story on TV, don't just automatically form your opinion because the news said it or Facebook said it. Form the opinion because you, yourself, as an individual. I love everybody here at Echo Hills, but I'm going to tell you this. You're not getting me to heaven. Myself, my relationship with God is going to get me to heaven. Let us not just lean on each other and think, oh, well, because it's what it said is what it is. I challenge you and I challenge myself. Whenever you need to know something, you want to believe in something, research it for yourself. Know without a doubt what the truth is that you speak. Know without a doubt what you believe is because you believe it, not because someone else said it. And so, like I said, it's not a political agenda by no means. It's an agenda that's where I think our nation needs to be as focused on truth and in life. You know, one of the passages I just want to close out as we bring this to kind of a conclusion this morning, I know it's short and sweet, is this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And I know in that whole passage it's talking about worry in that context. But I encourage you as individuals to seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your priority. Put the truth as what it is. Another passage that I wanted to use, but it was kind of not in the right context for where I was going, was John 8:32, where it said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I just didn't feel that that passage would have fit. That would mean taking scripture, plopping one scripture out to make it fit my lesson. And I didn't want to do that either. But one thing Jimmy said earlier, he did read a passage. Jesus is the way, the what? The truth and the life. Let's stand for truth. Let's stand for facts. And when we talk to others, whether it's about Christ or whether it's about whatever, let's know the truth before we open our mouth. That's my lesson for you this morning. I hope it, if anything, you got the video, made you laugh. So, this morning, as always, the invitation is always open for, if you haven't accepted Christ, to accept Him and to know the truth, because we know that truth will change your life. A lot of us in this room have already been to that point, and maybe we just need prayers. We constantly go through struggles. If maybe you're going through something, why not turn to your brothers and sisters? And as I always like to offer wherever I'm at, if you have praises to God, why not share that too? Because God is good always. So remember that. Thank you for your time this morning. So whatever your needs are, you can come as together we stand and sing.